to brand and brand communities. Those are some of the ingredients that has to be in place before we think about whether we want to have what kind of a law enforcement, what kind of system that we're going to replace what we have right now. What we know of is that what we have right now, it's not working and it's not going to work. But again, in order to get what different systems, we have to be able to also create the mechanism and the space and to have that level discussion and have the ingredients in place, both economic justice, racial justice, and overall societal interconnectedness.
So to be clear and to clarify, there has to be space for a new way of doing things rather than just trying to push for a better, more idealistic society.
I'm not personally, I'm not advocating for libertarian space. I'm not. Like, I don't want to like it. So we are interconnected society. We are interconnected community. We are a community that really has to have some sort of a social contract. And so in order to do that, we need to have some sort of a system in place to make sure that the safety of the most vulnerable populations have been taken care of. What that system looks like is completely has to be different what we have, but what that system looks like, we're not even there yet even to have to envision that. We have to really think about what I said earlier, what's the ingredients to even have that kind of a conversation and visioning process.
Gotcha, thank you for clarifying that. Going back to defunding, and we can...
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
The following program is a special encore rebroadcast for these unique pandemic times. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred and are no longer relevant.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stick with us as we play you music, throwback interviews, and more. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you on the other side, Indian Country.
Now that your big eyes are finally opened, now that you're wondering how must they feel, meaning them that you've chased across America's movie screens. Now that you're wondering, how can it be real that the ones you've called colorful, noble, and proud in your school propaganda, they starve in their splendor. You've asked for my comment, I simply will render. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Now that the longhouses breed superstition, you force us to send our toddlers away to your schools where they're taught to despise their traditions. Forbid them their languages, then further say that American history really began when Columbus set sail out of Europe, and stress that the nation of leeches that's conquered this land are the biggest and bravest and boldest and best, and yet where in your history books is the tale of the genocide basic to this country's birth, of the preachers who lied, how the Bill of Rights failed, how a nation of patriots returned to their earth, and where will it tell of the Liberty Bell as it rang with a flood of akin's or mud, and a brave Uncle Sam in Alaska this year. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Hear how the bargain was made for the West with her shivering the treaties a test. Oh, well, blankets for land is a bargain indeed. And the blankets were those Uncle Sam had collected from smallpox disease, dying soldiers that day. And the tribes were wiped out, and the history books censored. 100 years of your statesmen have felt it's better this way. Yet a few of the conquered have somehow survived. Their blood runs the redder, though genes have been paled. From the Grand Canyon's caverns to Craven's sad hills, the wounded, the losers, the robbed sing their tale. From Los Angeles County to upstate New York, the white nation fattens while others grow lean. Oh, the tricked and evicted, they know what I mean. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. The past, it just crumbled. The future just threatens. Our lifeblood shut up in your chemical tanks. And now here you come, bill of sale in your hand, and surprise in your eyes that we're lacking in thanks for the blessings of civilization you've brought us, the lessons you've taught us, the ruin you've wrought us. Oh, see what our trust in America's bought us. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Now that the pride of the sires receives charity, now that we're harmless and safe behind laws, now that my life's to be known as your heritage, now that even the graves have been robbed, now that our own chosen way is a novelty, hands on our hearts, we salute you, your victory. Choke on your blue, white, and scarlet hypocrisy, pitying the blindness that you've never seen, that the eagles of war whose wings lent you glory, they were never no more than carrion crows. Push the wrens from their nest, stole their eggs, changed their story. The mockingbird sings it, it's all that she knows. Ah, what can I do? Say a powerless few with a lump in your throat and a tear in your eye. Can't you see that their poverty's profiting you? My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying.
And those emotions, they're now boiling over into the streets of America and right here in the streets of Portland. Last night, for the third night in a row, thousands of protesters in our city demanded justice for people of color. They deserve a space to deliver this important message, and they deserve to be heard. Community leaders are listening. As your mayor, I'm listening. Your city commissioners are listening. Your police chief, your fire chief, they're listening too. They're doing everything in their power to protect your right to protest, to avoid confrontations. But last night, a small number of demonstrators provoked conflict. Last night, a small handful of rioters continued to hurt our city. They were violent. They harassed reporters and threatened our first responders. They smashed windows. They started fires. I want to be clear, they were a small handful from amongst thousands of peaceful demonstrators. The majority, those who demonstrated peacefully, I want to say again, thank you. I'm proud to stand with you, seeking a just future for the people of color that our government has failed. And there were even a few moments yesterday that moved me and gave me hope about the future. Officers kneeling alongside demonstrators to show respect and solidarity. Our chief of police, Chief Resch, and Portland Police Bureau leadership meeting with the leaders of the demonstrations and working together to encourage a message of peace and nonviolence. As your mayor and as your police commissioner, as a father, and as the person responsible for the safety of everyone in this city, I do not believe that violence or destruction is the answer to healing the deep racial wounds harming Portland and America.
Hello, and welcome to our... Did we figure out what we were calling this? It's not Teepee Talks no more. Welcome to the segment that we can never remember the name.
Low Res Edition.
Well, this is, yeah, that's what the show is. Yeah, show is Low Res Edition. But the talking, you, me talking.
Oh. No, I don't think welcome, we did.
Welcome to the Like a Horse with No Name. This is the talking segment with no name. Until we come up with something better. Hey, Ahuka, hey, ya. Joining me is Nick Yellowhorse. Nick, how are you?
I'm okay. You?
I'm okay. Got a little shaky over the weekend. But otherwise, I'm okay. I guess we should just jump right into it. Portland. Portland's been busy. We are now on night 4 of a curfew set for the city. There have been demonstrations since, like, what, Thursday? Maybe sooner? And most of downtown is plywood. And they have come very close to home, that to just directly under my balcony the other night. Had a couple cops shoot some flash grenades as I was standing out on my balcony. That was fun. I also got lightly pepper sprayed, so that was also fun. Yeah, Portland demonstrations have been showing up in big numbers outside the Injustice Center downtown, and rumor has it Governor Kate is inviting the National Guard to come out. So we'll see how that goes. Nick, any thoughts?
Many thoughts. It's an interesting time currently in Portland for us. It's an interesting time for everyone out there. It's a lot of emotions, a lot of feels. I know specifically for us, we've had some looting the very first night and a little bit the other nights. But yesterday's demonstration was a sight to behold. I don't know if you saw all the aerial footage as well of the bridge here in Portland, the Burnside Bridge, I think.
I knew that there was something going on out there. I didn't see any aerial footage yet.
There was footage of it like 3/4 full of just everyone protesting coming into the city.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like I said, a sight to behold. And then also the Portland police tried coming in, saw what was happening, turned their three cars around and went back. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it's surprising what's going on and what's being said, because our mayor has forced this curfew, but not even the police are even obeying it. Because the first night that we had a curfew, the Portland police jumped the gun a bit and started tear gassing protesters 1 hour before it was in effect.
Yeah, it seems the closer to curfew you get, like, the itchier that trigger finger gets. And they had already been using tear gas, yeah, by like 6 or 7 p.m. So I guess that also ties into the other things. So there's a picture circulating of, and I know this has happened in other cities as well, of cops kneeling with protesters, and that happened here in Portland. We had the Portland PD kneeled with the protesters. The war is over. We can all go home. So they, in this photo op, they kneeled for a little bit, got back up, then, like, not very long after, shot tear gas in the crowd. So, you know, progress. Right?
Yeah, it's super upsetting that this is happening, because so many people are willing to share this photo and say, hey, look, it's progress between the police and those who are protesting, when in reality, it really, really isn't. And even our mayor is going off and tweeting saying, hey, guess what? We're doing something. We're doing great. Look at this. It could be done. Nonviolent protesting. It's working, guys. And then pretty much no less than an hour later, they're tear gassing those exact people that they were kneeling with. And you have to wonder, was this a PR stunt? To me, in my eyes, it's feeling like a PR stunt.
Yeah. It's a hollow gesture.
And so many people are deluding themselves into thinking, oh, I should share this because, you know, it's not that bad. And no,
it really can be peace between both sides. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Because it's not true. It's not reality. If you want reality, there are plenty of streams that showed what last night looked like after that little PR stunt. Cops were just driving past groups of people and lighting them up with beanbags and tear gas. There was an entire row of cars downtown last night of civilians, and they were trapped. The cops blocked off every single street. They were surrounded, and these cars were just encased in a giant cloud of tear gas. Because anytime they saw even a small cluster of protesters, the cops would turn on their lights, drive past, and just shoot out the window, or cops would come up and just start lighting them up.
Yeah, I saw a video of a group of protesters who were going off one street, and here come the police just tear gassing them one block down, and literally followed them an entire block around, going one block to the south, one block to the east, one block to the north, one block to the west, to come back to where they were, and then cornering them in a parking lot, all sides with tear gas, and just being super aggressive to protesters who were just walking away and doing nothing, where there were near no police or any type of activity. And this is our reality.
Things were honestly kind of starting to die down, and they continued to do that until about, I want to say, 12:30 last night, maybe 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. Even though there was very small numbers of people, and it was mostly people trying to figure out how to get out of the city. They shut down the highways, they shut down TriMet, they shut down our public transportation. They said, hey, it's totally fine, you know, if you read the... I had it up. Let me find it real quick. Actually, I wonder if my notification is still there. Yes, it is. So the emergency alert is still there. So in the Portland.gov website, temporary curfew, frequently asked questions, we have here a few things that I chuckled at. So I'm scheduled to work during the curfew. Can I travel to go to work? Can my employees still report to work during curfew? Yes, people are allowed to travel to work during the curfew. I use public transportation or a ride-hailing app for transportation. Am I allowed to use those during curfew? Yes, you can use public transportation like TriMet or a ride-hailing app like Lyft or Uber to travel for any purpose allowed under curfew. These methods of transportation will continue to operate unless circumstances require them to be closed to public health and safety. They shut down TriMet at like 3 or 4 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometime around then. And I had friends who were trying to get in from Beaverton and they shut down the freeway. Like they shut down like the highway in, and they were, and like my friend was like, yeah, like there's a semi truck for Safeway, and he like stopped at the barricade and was like, dude, I'm trying to do my job. Like what is going on here? Like, I get it, but really, like, this is your plan? Is to just cut off, like, just to trap people? So either, I mean, I just, so they cut off all of that. So now you have people who have no access to get out of the situation, even if they wanted to. And then you have, they just surrounded the entire city. So everyone was trapped in, like, that Pioneer Square kind of area, hiding in the various parking garages. And, you know, it was the ultimate game of hide and seek, of just hiding from the cops and making sure they didn't catch you, because if they spotted you, there was a group coming over or there was a car that was turning just around the street to come shoot. It's in a multiple live streams, and like it's just so, I mean, again, it looked like a rave. It looked like a Pink Floyd concert out there with how much smoke was in the streets. And you know, Portland streets are pretty wide. Like, we got some breeze between our streets. And it was a fog of tear gas. Just a death cloud of tear gas. That's going to continue tonight.
I have friends who live downtown in the apartments that are happening, that all this tear gas is so much that they're experiencing it in their own home, and they're like, yeah, I have to close the windows because I have cats or pets and I'm asthmatic, this and that. And that's how much tear gas that our police department is using.
Exactly. That's the reality of how much tear gas they're using. So it's not even really like, I don't know, you're affecting citizens now with it. And it's people who aren't even out in the streets, who aren't even breaking curfew. They're just in their homes getting tear gassed. It's been nuts. And in other cities as well, there's been fires. The Justice Center here was on fire for a little bit. I don't think anything else really caught fire out here, right?
I hadn't heard anything.
I didn't either.
Just a literal dumpster fire.
I was very pleased to hear that the protesters in D.C. managed to set foot on the White House lawn. That warmed my little heart. They got past the cops somehow. I'm not quite sure how. I'm still trying to get better details. I've been seeing pictures and some short clips on Twitter. But they managed to get past the barricade and go onto the White House lawn. The White House, for the first time in who knows how long, shut off all its lights, and the rotting orange was shoved into the basement, where he will probably stay for a little while, especially tonight. So that was also hilarious to hear. What else? There's just too much. There's too much to talk about. And then on top of this, it's like we have all this gathering and all this, like, there's so much to do, but we're still also in the middle of a pandemic. You know?
Yeah, it's a weird gray area to be in.
People are like risking their lives in multiple ways now. Not just police violence, an accident, or otherwise. Like, now it's like you could also catch COVID-19 because you are with a group of people. I mean, the plus side of a protest, if you know what you're doing, is you're wearing a mask. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who, even in the middle of a pandemic, won't wear a mask. And they continue that into a protest setting. I saw plenty of people not wearing masks in these videos or pulling them down or whatever. Now, some of these cities are reopening, but I have my own opinions on reopening. I don't know. Who knows? All in all, it seems to be working pretty nicely, right, Nick? Reopening the country's going pretty smooth. All is well in the land of freedom. Hey, look, the cops are kneeling with protesters. Everything's okay. Sunshine and rainbows over here. I know, I feel like Nick... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, I don't think we should be reopening until we actually have a better hold on what's going on tribal lands, because nobody wants to talk about that at all and just says, oh, hey, our state is great because we're just testing our regular citizens and not the indigenous folk that surround it. It's upsetting to me that our city and other cities are so vehemently for opening businesses and protecting businesses more than protecting our own people.
Mm-hmm. Hilariously, that's what our governor said, in a way. Our governor, in a statement today, was that, did that happen today?
Yes, that was today.
Okay.
And we can play part of it.
Yeah, we'll play a little bit of it, but in part of it, she goes, you know, she lists and she's very well aware of the struggles that marginalized communities are going through, even though, you know, she actively fought rent freeze and didn't really do much to help marginalized communities here in Oregon. But somehow, according to her, with this reopening phase, marginalized communities will be at the forefront. The needs of marginalized communities will be at the forefront of reopening Oregon, even though we're the most likely to work essential jobs and also the highest affected by this COVID pandemic. And but it's okay, you know, we'll keep those needs in mind, even though none of them are being met. I forgot what I was saying. What did she say? I don't even know. Where am I? What year is it? Nick, any thoughts?
I think that her and our mayor, Ted Wheeler, had the same sentiment of saying, you know, I get it. It's hard. I'm a white person and I don't have to experience this. And I think Ted Wheeler even said something along the lines, singular death of George Floyd is the reason why all this is going on. And that felt super tone deaf to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's George Floyd and so many others over a lot of years. And we just happened to be able to get the time to come out and say, hey, this isn't right again, yet now with a lot more force.
And a lot more stakes. We're coming out in the middle of a pandemic. Did I mention there's a pandemic, by the way? Did I forget to mention that we're in the middle of a pandemic, BT Dubs? And we are still coming out in full force saying, hey, this has to stop. Yeah, I mean, man, there's so much to be said. So we'll have a clip of our governor saying whatever she said. Nothing useful. The needs of marginalized communities will be at the forefront, and that's why I'm calling in the National Guard tonight. You know? Because that's what's going to keep us safe. More force. Speaking of National Guard, did you all see that video in Minneapolis of the National Guard lighting up residents who were standing on their porch, videotaping them as they went down their neighborhood with military trucks? The second they came into view, they started screaming at these people who were standing on their own front porch, not at the end of their driveway. They were standing in front of the front door, just videotaping the military parade happening in front of their house. And the National Guard started yelling at them to get inside. They were confused and being like, why do I need to get inside? Like, it's not even really curfew. Like, what's happening? And all of a sudden, you hear a dude in the group just go, light them up. And they shot at these people. I don't know if they shot. I don't know what they shot. I don't know if they shot gas or smoke bomb. They shot at them, though. And this is all on video. So, you know. But it's okay. The National Guard's not going to come armed here. So they say they're just supposed to be behind the scenes. Because that totally is how that's going to go. And if you can't tell the sarcasm in my voice, I can't help you. What's that bumper sticker, that old bumper sticker say? Of course you can trust the government. Ask any Native American. Nick, any thoughts?
I think that a lot more people need to realize this is going to take a lot more time than a few days over the weekend and a fake kneeling of police officers to show some type of some semblance of solidarity with the actual people. Because if we look at what AIM did back in the 70s and occupying Alcatraz for what, 19 months in order for the police to actually hear us and understand that we're people as well too, and that we don't deserve to be treated how Black people are being treated right now, because it was the same situation. And that's why we Indigenous folk need to be there with every single one of our Black friends, family, and community members, because this happens to us as well, and it's not an experience that we have nothing to do with.
Exactly. I mean, for those of you who have been to the Space Needle, some of you have seen this very beautifully carved totem pole that's right next to the Space Needle. And some of you might have thought, oh, that's so cool. Like, what a great way to, like, honor the Native people who are from here. That totem pole got there because police murdered John T. Williams. John T. Williams was a woodcarver in Seattle. He was deaf in one ear, and the cop shot him 4 times in his back. The cop that shot him and murdered him has still not been prosecuted. His family has never received justice. So his family carved this totem pole, and the Native community marched it through downtown Seattle. There's videos of this. And placed it up next to the Space Needle. That is a memorial to someone that we have lost in our community to police violence. That is a reminder in the thing, in the place that, like, screams Seattle, the Space Needle, is also a big reminder that even this place isn't safe, though. Liberal Seattle, liberal Portland, wherever, it doesn't matter. No place is ever safe. Optics, things can be deceiving. Oh, what a nice little totem pole to represent the tribes here. Yeah, what a nice picture. It's just, go on.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the word safe, because Ted Wheeler says that a lot in his little speech today about how he can say Portland is safe and that it's on him to say Portland is safe because he's the mayor and the police commissioner currently. And he said, last night it wasn't safe, but this morning it was because we got it under control. No, it wasn't safe. Even before all of this quote-unquote rioting that was happening, Portland wasn't safe.
Mm-mm.
Not safe for you, not safe for I, not safe for all the Black community.
Yep. Portland has and never, I mean, maybe one day, but Portland has never been safe. Portland is one of the, like, peak trafficking, human trafficking ports in, like, the country. Portland has been at the forefront of human trafficking for centuries. We have Shanghai tunnels here, like real ones. And if you think that bringing in the National Guard is going to make things more safe, safe for who? That's the big question you got to ask yourself. Safe for who? Who feels better when you have more militarized police in presence? I don't feel safe. I don't want the National Guard here. I didn't feel safe when the cops were lighting up flashbangs directly underneath my dang building at midnight. Tear gas blowing in the wind into my freaking sliding glass door, into the people who live downtown. It's getting warm here. People can't handle the heat like I can. Not everyone's a lizard. People here, it gets 70 degrees and they all melt. They can't turn on their air conditioning because it's got tear gas in it. Legit. I remember during the fires, we couldn't even do that because the smoke was in everything. You cannot have airflow. And now everything is coated in tear gas downtown. And that stuff is no joke. I got the lightest breaks, the lightest breeze of tear gas, and I was coughing for the rest of the night. It's a miracle I didn't lose my voice. My throat was swollen and angry. I couldn't talk by the end of the night because I was coughing too hard. And that was the lightest essence of tear gas that I got compared to downtown, which is drenched right now. Who is that supposed to make feel safe? Not me. Not Nick. Not the people who were getting shot at. Not the people in their apartments. Who really feels safer knowing that and doing that? Who's best interest is that for, really? That is not how you put the needs of marginalized people at the forefront, by inviting more cops. We all know who it is. We all know who it's supposed to make feel more comfortable. There's a good meme that our homie, Dene, or oh, my brain is like fried. Dimi and Dene Yaji over at Rise Indigenous posted this meme. I'd like to quote it right now. It says, settler colonizer. Wow, I can't. English is so hard. I'm that mad. I can't even speak English. settler colonizers have always held us hostage and have always refused to help unless it meant our compliance or submission. I'm going to read that again. Settler colonizers have always held us hostage and have always refused help unless it meant our compliance or submission. Think about that. Anytime we rise up, it's either submit or more violence. We've seen it at Standing Rock. We've seen it in how all of our nations ended up where they are today. That is the tactic. You must submit. Now, I don't know about you, but even in the kink community, we know that submission is earned. And even then, there are lines, there are boundaries to that. This is breaking all of the boundaries. There is no respect in this. It is pure domination. And that's, funny enough, what we're also marching against. What we're saying we're tired of. We do not want to submit. We do not want you to put your knees on our backs until we submit, until you kill us. Well, he should have just complied. You've seen that CNN reporter complying. That CNN reporter being like, we're here to tell your story. Tell us where you need us to go. Oh, we're here for you. Nope. Arrested. The whole crew arrested. They don't care. It's the heat of the moment. It's the hunt. Logic has far been out the window and never been a part of this, but it gets worse. It don't matter no more. You can shoot whatever moves. It's a big game of duck hunt. That's where it's getting at now. Yeah, there's property damage. Yeah, there's fires. Yeah, there's some people who are really messing it up for the rest of us. But at the same time, you know, there'll always be those little ones that try to infiltrate and do whatever. Are we going to let them destroy this entire thing? At the same time, these things that are being destroyed, are they really that important? Is a target more important than someone's life? A target can be rebuilt. A target can be restocked, reemployed. There are plenty of targets out there. There was only one George Floyd. There was only one John T. Williams. There was only one Philando Castile. They cannot be replaced. These buildings, Verizon can be replaced. Starbucks can be replaced. We ain't even using them right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. No one's going to the mall or the Apple store. The problem is, what we've been saying, these material things should not outweigh human lives. And if you are more concerned with property damage than human lives being lost, you really need to take a good look at yourself in the mirror and realize what's been done. You really need to take a look and see where that comes from. Examine that. Get uncomfortable. Why do I think this? Why am I more worried about a Target, an AutoZone, a Starbucks? It's hard to see our cities burn. It's hard to see our cities in shambles. But at the end of the day, it's harder to see people lose their lives for reasons that don't exist, for frivolous things, for ego trips, for systematic racism, for something that we've been told time and time again has ended. Obama is president. Racism is over. Those days are over. Interracial marriage is a thing. Gay marriage is a thing. All of its problems are suddenly solved. No. No, they're not. And not until we take a good hard look at it and get real uncomfortable, then nothing will be solved. They need to know that there are consequences. We have tried it 8 different ways for 500 years. We have tried it since the first ship landed on this land. Since first contact, we have fed, we have listened, we have negotiated, we have signed contracts, we have signed treaties, we have talked and talked and talked and talked for hundreds and hundreds of years. And here we are today. Nothing. People are still being killed. Our people, our cousins, all of our relatives are still being harmed by this. This system still exists. The United States of America was built to exterminate us, and we need to change that. We need to burn it down and regrow. Our relatives in California knew how it worked. There's sometimes a need for a controlled burn. Only then can you have things grow anew. Let Target burn. Maybe a cedar tree will grow in its place. Nick, any thoughts?
Everything I needed to say.
Just there's so many resources out there as well. If you want to be a good, I don't like using the word ally, my tongue itches the second I tried to say it. If you want to support and you are not a person of color, then there are so many links and articles at your disposal that everyone has been posting. Please, now is not the time for you to do the talking. You've done the talking for 500 years. Listen. Listen and observe and absorb. There are plenty of resources out there. Do not make this about you. You are there to assist. You are there to stand in front of sometimes, but not in that way. Put your bodies in between the police, where the violence is, and people of color. And black folks who are there expressing themselves in a way that is very unsafe for them, but safer for you. And that's just, I mean, that's just a fact. We've all seen it. It's a very real, very kind of sad thing, but use that privilege that you have as a weapon. Recognize the system that you've been in and then turn against it. Put yourself in harm's way for someone else. There are plenty of ways to educate yourself. So much is going around. So much is going around. There's places to donate to. I myself can't be out there because we're still in the... Did I mention there's a pandemic? So I am immunocompromised. I am in the little pool with all of our grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles of people who will definitely die from this if I get it. So I have been quarantining. I am not able to go out there. I only lucked out that the party happened to come to me, and I was standing on my balcony on the 4th floor trying to cheer them on and coughing and videotaping. Make sure people were safe. Even if you can't be out on the streets, there are other ways to do it. Donate to a jail bail. Donate to a bail fund. donate to Black Lives Matter, donate to local organizations, donate to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. There's so many different ways. Links are everywhere. It's easily accessible. You have no excuse to say, I don't know where to go, because it's literally everywhere. Check on your Black friends. And if you only have one to check in with, ask yourself why that is. Examine that. That also says something. Keep in mind how colorful your life is. And I don't mean the color of people's skin, but the variety of people that you surround yourself with, the experiences you surround yourself with. Check in on folks. Donate when you can. Spread the word when you can. There's so many ways you can do it, from home or in the streets or anywhere. You have no excuse to say, I don't know how to help. I don't know where to go. I'm telling you now, it's in your phone, your computer. It's everywhere. Those links are everywhere. Google is free. Facebook, it's everywhere. Instagram, it's everywhere. Do your part. Just like you wear, hopefully, you better be wearing a mask every day when you go outside, washing your hands. It's not just about you. It's about other people too. It's about caring for other people, what they go through. Okay, I'm done with my half auntie yell rave. That's my soapbox. Wash your hands. Nick, anything you'd like to yell at our audience about?
I think just try to keep informed and understand that some things may appear the way they are in a photo when they aren't actually how they are in person. And that I hope you realize that you need to speak up, because silence at this time is worse than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Silence is violence. It's the beginning of Pride Month. I'm talking to all my queer fam right now. You know the slogan, silence equals death. Do not be silent in this. Pride was a riot. The first Pride was a riot. The reason we have Pride is because of a riot. It's because of a Black trans woman throwing the first brick, throwing the first shot glass, however it went. A Black trans woman kicked that off, and we owe it to her. We owe it to our ancestors before her. We got to fight this. We do not submit. Yeah. Well, I'm done yelling at everybody. I hope everybody's doing okay and is safe. I wish I had a funny anecdote, something else that's going on in the news, but holy cow, Trump's locked in a bunker. That's pretty funny. I'm sure he's real uncomfortable about it. Yeah. Nick, any final thoughts?
Keep safe.
Mm.
Look into things.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't go alone. Go with a buddy. Always have a buddy system. Don't go.
Always have a buddy.
Yeah. If you're going to protest, do not go by yourself. Make sure you have a friend. Sorry, Nick. Continue.
No, it's fine. Follow us on Facebook, because we have some wonderful news every now and then there. And
we post links also, yeah.
Yeah, and more than just pandemic talk and what's happening right now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to repost some of the Native humor stuff I found way back in the day. We'll post some old school 1491 stuff. Actually, I don't even need to post old school stuff. 1491's have been doing like a little web series. Oh my goodness, and I feel so bad that I can't just name it off the top of my head. So they've been doing, funny enough, it's called Low Res TV, and I swear I didn't get the name from that. But yeah, Low Res TV, check out the 1491s on YouTube, friends of the show. They've been doing Low Res TV. I think they're on episode 4 now. Just different check-ins with different Indian celebrities and talking about all kinds of stuff. It's hilarious. We'll post a couple Low Res TV episodes. We'll post a couple Way Too Personal Internet Hand Drum Dude. We'll post one of my favorite new songs, Res Lightning. We'll post some stuff to keep you laughing, but you know, we're still going to also post some stuff to keep you informed as well. So yeah. Nick, thanks for sitting for 30 minutes while I yell into a microphone.
Always a pleasure.
I'm going to for real shut up now. And anything you wanna leave them with? Grain of wisdom from the Dene Nation. We didn't even get to talk about how y'all are doing. Like, how the Navajo Nation's doing.
It could be better.
You heard it here first. From an actual Navajo, things could be better.
It's
That's fair.
Still a lot that's happening down there, which is why I'm very against any type of going outside and reopening a state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna try and check in with all of that going on in Indian country as well. I know that there was a fundraiser recently. I think it was like Native punk musicians raising some money, and another fundraiser as well from OXDX. We'll check in with everybody again, see how that's been going. But we really just wanted to talk about, you know, this last week. I'm trying to think of what. Oh, I returned to you a year older. Well, I did in the last episode, actually. But I am now a year older still. I am a week older. My birthday was on Monday. So I am older and wiser, which is why I gave you that elder soapbox. So you're welcome. I am pretty much over the hill now. You know, that's why I have to go on my rants. Yeah. Nick, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll talk again. You know, we do these as, you know, best we can. Been busy. So thank you for, patience, everybody, with these low-res editions, and we're trying to, you know, do the best we can here. So, Nick, thank you so much for recording and setting this all up. And, we'll have some clips from the governor you've heard and all of that. Hey, by the way, Black Lives Matter, and this show stands behind that. Support our relatives out there. Be a good relative and show up. We know that, you know, some of our neighborhoods are also being affected, but I really hope you're at least, there's enough of us to go around. There's enough of us to patrol our neighborhoods, but also to show up for our relatives who are protesting right now. There's more than enough. So I hope that we can see that moving forward. Yeah. That's all I can think of. I'm going to thank you for the fourth time now, Nick. Thank you so much. Nick Yellow Horse, everybody.
Calling all dancers, let's put on her dancing shoes. We're going to do on the barbecue. It's good for you. Live it up.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.